This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, a website devoted to business, politics, culture, and more of the Fort Smith region. Michael, thanks for joining us again.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, Kyle.
I'm really going to kind of lean on your business expertise in the beginning of our conversation. Yesterday, Governor Mike Beebe sat down with Roby Brock, and Roby took questions from around the state on a variety of topics. One of them that the governor was asked about early was a National Labor Relations Board, that's the NLRB, ruling against Boeing, and how that could affect Arkansas. I'm going to ask you to help explain what all of this means.
Well, the bottom line issue is Arkansas being a right-to-work state and other states in the union not having those right-to-work provisions. So that's the bottom line. We'll get back to that. The issue is that several years ago, Boeing, when they began to build their 787 Dreamliner, which is supposed to be the next thing, fuel efficient, they picked Charleston, South Carolina to build this facility there. The union folks in Washington, in the Seattle area, and Portland, Oregon area, where they don't have right-to-work laws, felt that was being done to punish them for past union strikes and work disruptions, and to also kind of signal, put a shot across the bow of, look, if you union folks don't want to play ball, we can locate more production in right-to-work states. That's what the union alleges. The National Labor Relations Board regional director agreed with them, and on April 20th issued a ruling if it's carried through, as Governor Beebe noted, to his extreme conclusion, could force some of that or all of that production back. And Boeing has already invested close to $1 billion. State of South Carolina put up incentives. So it's got everyone's attention around the country quickly. So we'll see where it goes. There's a June 14th hearing. But the issue for Arkansas is that one of its key selling points is we're a right-to-work state.
Right.
If you've taken away that, if the feds have now said, well, you can't just move your operation because you can get lower labor costs, try to get away from a union contract. Well, that you've hurt or you've minimized greatly one of those selling points that Arkansas and other right-to-work states have. Now, I talked to Cheryl Garner. She's the VP for Economic Development at the Fort Smith Chamber. She tried to downplay it, saying that, you know, labor costs aren't everything, that there are other geographic locations, distribution, that type of thing. But the labor cost, that is the largest cost of any business. As a small business owner, I know that to be certain in ours.
I suppose members of organized labor in Arkansas would say, well, wait a second, this is kind of a victory for organized labor.
Well, yeah, well, that's what they could say. Although, there are different ways to look at this story, and this is what I love about it. For example, the head of Boeing, a guy named Jim McNerney, said that the unions need to be careful because this could backfire, and companies who are now in a right-to-work state or are may want to locate operations from overseas to the U.S. may rule out a non-right-to-work state, because if you set up in a non-right-to-work state first, it can prevent you from then moving later, expanding later to a right-to-work state. So it can backfire on unions. And the other thing was Governor Beebe talked about how Cooper Tire, several years ago, were going to cut from 2 to 4 the number of its plants, with 2 of those being union plants. And they just knew for sure it'd probably be union plants that would go. But the unionized Texarkana plant ended up staying open, according to Beebe, because they had superior workforce quality. You know, they were putting out a quality product. So, you know, his take was don't count out a state or a city or a plant just because it may or may not have a union workforce.
More business news in the past week, and that was the Tyson earnings reports.
Right, and they didn't meet estimates, but they still did well, and they're doing much better than they have in recent years. What was interesting, though, Kyle, from their earnings call, their transcript of their earnings call, is how much, and I think we all know this intuitively, but sometimes it's interesting, it's good to be reminded. but how much of Tyson's business is based on a lot of factors outside of its control, weather, oil speculation, import-export policies of other countries, earthquakes in Japan. So all of these things, and we have the story obviously up on the City Wire, but for example, corn prices, we have this flooding, the severe flooding in the Mississippi River tributary areas. That's likely to raise corn prices, and corn prices are already very high, and corn and other grains is a huge cost component for Tyson Foods. So that's interesting. But on the other side of that, export demand for their products is increasing. The overall supply of meat, poultry, pork, and cattle is diminishing, so that increases the price point. So I guess I said all that just to say it's interesting all of those things that a Tyson Foods executive has to balance every day. I mean, from earthquakes in Japan to flooding in the Mississippi River Valley to what the Russians are doing about their import or export policy. It's an interesting those guys, sometimes we criticize those folks for getting paid well, but sometimes they may earn that.
Crawford County seems to be a pretty good place to play the lottery if such a thing exists.
Well, it is. Now, this is, as I told you earlier, somewhat of a whimsical story. I don't have just a whole lot of, or the Arkansas Lottery folks don't have a whole lot of detail to back this up, but I've just been noticing recently that there have been a lot of $10,000 or more winners out of Crawford County. So I asked Julie Baldridge with the Lottery Commission about that, and again, they don't have detailed numbers. They don't track specifically who comes from where and what the wins were, but even as she looked at the numbers, her take was that, I think it was, she said that Crawford County is a quote, pretty good place to live in terms of lottery luck, end quote. So, you know, we've had $1 million winner, a $200,000 winner, $147,000 winner, a $100,000 winner, several 25 down winners. So, as I said in the lead of the story, it may not be entirely foolish for a person to take their lunch hour off and head over and hit a few spots in Crawford County to buy some lottery tickets.
But as you said, we don't know how Crawford County stacks up against any other county because the lottery folks don't keep those records.
Right, and that's odd to me, Kyle. From just a marketing standpoint, I would think the Lottery Commission would have a detailed Excel spreadsheet, so to speak, of where they come from, demographics, the age group, you know, all of those things, you know, just because it's got to be a wealth of, and maybe it is just trivial data, but somewhere in there, there's some marketing, there's some public relations gains if they were after those.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, a website devoted to the culture, politics, business, and more of the Fort Smith region. Michael, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. When I come up that way, I'll try to grab a ticket or two.
Please do. Thank you.
All right.